This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Monday to you as we continue reflecting on the 2025 NFL draft for your Houston Texans, in which they got nine new Texans, including a couple of Iowa State wideouts. You know, some defensive backs to add into the secondary that this Texas team has, and probably more so add into some special teams for your guy Frank Ross. Added a running back in Woody Marks, who seems super excited. Jaquavius Marks is what his mama called him. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't know. She might call him Woody, too. I just wanted to point out that his name
from,
on his birth certificate
Toy Story. That's where Jaquavius. You got the nickname.
I believe that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a guy who, you know, pass catcher, smooth, all of that. But then one of those nine picks in the second round, a man that goes simply by Tay, Arionte Arisuri, 6'6", 330. Big boy played at Minnesota. But that's the one player that this team added to an offensive line that they had to kind of dismantle in sorts in the offseason. And really, they got with free agents, at least for me personally, I will speak for myself, it did not feel like they addressed it in such a way where I am ecstatic and excited going into the season.
Yeah.
But it feels like with the way that they handled themselves, the message is clear about the offensive line, Lopez.
Well, the message is very clear, but I think we should probably go back to like how this all started.
Okay, you got it.
You got rid of Laremy Tunsil.
Correct.
Kenyon Green. You remade your offensive line with guys that literally everyone that you brought in, there was a question about, you know.
That's right.
You know, Cam Robinson, obviously, you know, Trent Brown, Ed Ingram, your favorite player, you know, all these. There were questions about everything. So when you go back and you think about where you were with the offensive line, and we were all saying, well, they're going to draft an offensive lineman. They might draft two. Well,
I was thinking two in the top 100. Like, I thought could play in that first pool of offensive linemen, which, of course, the way that the draft falls ahead of you is just what you have to deal with. And that first pool of what, like eight, or actually it was eight total in the first round. That first pool of maybe what, like six, seven offensive linemen or what have you, they didn't get to 25, at least is all I'll say. Mm-hmm. There's some questions that I think still exist of what was the cause to move up into that pool, and was it something that maybe a risk that you should have taken? I don't know. But ultimately, if that falls in such a way, it does not mean that you shift up everything. And so I think that took away an opportunity to add what I thought would be necessary to have good competition and maybe not guarantee, but give you a significantly better opportunity at putting forward an offensive line that you know is going to hold up in the ways that you need it.
Here's where it gets interesting. And you mentioned the risk. You know, it wasn't worth the risk necessarily. Nick Caserio said on Friday, you know, they were talking with literally everyone in the league. They didn't feel like the value was there, so they didn't take the risk to move up. But they did take this risk, and clearly this is where I'm landing with this. They feel this is less of a risk than, you know, trying to force a deal to move up and get those guys or even draft more than one offensive lineman. This might be the biggest roll of the dice the Texans have made in a long time, staying with this offensive line. They believe in it. They clearly do, because Arisuri, you know, he's going to compete for a spot, but do you expect him to be a starter day one?
I'm not certain, and I think that's really interesting about Arionte Arisuri as well, because he's played left tackle. In fact, can I do this? Can I go to D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of this team? This was him in the post-draft press conference, and this is five, talking about what Arionte brings to this football team.
Yeah, with Tay, we had a guy who brings, you know, that physicality, the mindset that I really think helps offensive linemen be good at their job. He's done a great job of playing left tackle and still has room to grow and develop. So excited about adding him.
He's a left tackle by trade.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that we're seeing in the NFL is that teams, especially with just there's not that many offensive linemen mm-hmm. that are up to the caliber, teams are very comfortable moving these guys around, understanding yeah. that it's not the easiest thing in the world, but moving guys around. It feels like he has a possibility of maybe being the left tackle of the future, but Cam Robinson might be one of the few offensive linemen that feels like his spot mm-hmm. is solidified and where he is. And if that's the case, do you kick him, Ariante, inside? I don't know that you flip him to the other side and have him play right tackle,
mm-hmm.
but I think that especially with the size that he has, maybe you could bring him inside. That's more of a position that you worry about or that you consider that you can get by, for lack of a better term, on your strength and your power, which he does have, and continue to kind of get that coaching. But I don't know that that's a given, especially when you have guys that are vets and get ultimately you're trying to get everybody on the same page with an offensive line that, again, as you mentioned, has question marks. So I don't know that I can say definitively that he will start, but I do think he has a possibility and he has the talent to possibly be able to if he is one of your best five.
Well, answer this question because, and Figgy, feel free, because I have my answer to this question because I think this is ultimately where it goes, with, you know, now that the NFL draft is done. What was the message they sent about their offensive line or messages? To me, there's a couple. We're good. I mean, that's the number one message that they sent. We're good. They believe that a better room, you know, you just heard D'Amico talking about mindset. You know, we've talked about, you know, the swarm and the mentality and somebody reported a while back that it was toxic or whatever it was. So they believe a better room and a new offensive line coach and we're good. That's message number one that they sent that message in this draft. There's no question about it.
They said it in the lead-up.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that you go, how much of this is the mm-hmm. conversations that happen, the smoke screens or what have you? No, they put their money where their mouth is, and I do wonder how much of that is circumstance, as we've talked about the idea of that first pool alignment. But ultimately, they come out with Ariante Ursary as the one who gets into this space. And other than that, you're looking at the likes of Laken Tomlinson and Ed Ingram in this space, along with, you know, Juice Scruggs and Titus Howard and – obviously, yeah, Blake Fisher, like Trent Brown, those are the mm-hmm. names. Those are the guys that you're going to have to, you know, that is going to be doing the competition. And all the questions that we have, they're going to have to kind of figure it out on the field. Like, there's not necessarily a look of, well, this guy makes more, this guy has more upside. Like, maybe that factors in somewhat, but it does feel like they're just going to kind of throw these guys into the pot. And when they get on the field, whichever iteration of those five is the best, you go out there and play. And that does not instill a lot of confidence in me, considering where you started from last season, considering the question marks that you have, not just about the players, but also still about the coaches. I don't know that I can say definitively that I have guys that I go, I know that they build, you know, great offensive linemen. We're doing that. We're trying to get Cole Popovich there with his association to Dante Scarnecchia, right? Like, that's what we're trying to do to get ourselves a level of confidence. So with all of that and all those questions, I'd be remiss to get out here and say definitively that I think this offensive line is going to be great. And I would have liked for them to show a little bit more to try and I know, give yourself some more cover in that space.
And to me, that's the second message that they sent very, very clearly. Cole Popovich is the man. Cole Popovich is going to fix everything. That's a big ask for a guy that's never been the man as the offensive line coach. He's been an assistant, of course. But that's the other one. They believe Cole Popovich and this room is going to make this offensive line all of a sudden be exactly what it needs to be.
Yeah. From the 972, answer me this. If the Texans O-line is just as bad or worse by week 8, should Nick Caserio be fired? That's tough because, like, you would have to ask questions in some regard because there were very intentional decisions about the way that you go about this. But I think that he has been so good in all the other aspects. And the question I ask is, how much do you weigh that to the point where it would be some level of job?
It depends how if the Texans like 2-whatever, if they, you know, winless or something like that, then everybody probably job gonna be on the line. But if they probably playing like last year, where they okay, but CJ is getting a lot of sacks, I do think it's gonna be a lot of questions had. But I don't think he's gonna get fired.
I don't think he's getting fired. He's not getting fired. Now what is gonna happen is something that we've already touched on a little bit. Can this guy evaluate offensive linemen? Whether it's free agency, draft, whatever. I mean, that is a legitimate discussion if they don't perform.
That or and why did we hire this O-line coach right here?
Well, like, that for sure. He might be gone.
It's gonna be a lot of questions, yeah. But I don't think Nick Caserio is getting fired for
No. Let me ask you this. What's the starting offensive line if you had to guess today?
All right, if I had to guess
week
today.
Week one, starting offensive line.
I go Cam Robinson at left tackle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at left guard, I really would like to put Ariante there, but I don't know that I'm – because I think Titus Howard is a guard right now.
Yeah.
I think he's a guard right now, and I don't know – he played left guard more recently, but mm-hmm. I guess if you're moving people around, if you feel comfortable, do you feel comfortable moving him to right guard? Because ultimately I think that you can pick your poison between Jarrett Patterson or Drew Scruggs, and maybe just for not knowing or not having making mm-hmm. heads or tails between them, I put Drew Scruggs there just based off of draft capital. I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but I mean, I can easily see either one of those guys at center, and then Blake Fisher at right tackle, and then just trying to figure out, do you want to have Ariante Arasuri not just move into guard but move sides to right guard,
mm-hmm.
or do you want to have Titus Howard in there at left guard or move him to right guard after you've had him?
Come on, man.
I have those guys and guards. I don't know which side that you put them on depending on how you want to play them there. But I think that those are the five, and I think that's really matters.
You got five people playing left guard.
No, I don't. I have two guys playing guard, and I don't know which side that they play. But it's Cam Robinson,
mm-hmm.
Cam Robinson, Fisher as your tackles. I'll put Scruggs at your center for right now. And then Ursary and Titus Howard are your guards, whichever side you want to do. And the reason why I mm-hmm. have that is because I would like to have a young guy next to a veteran. And so having Ursary next to Cam as opposed to having Ursary next to Blake Fisher on the right side, where there's not as much of that help that's there for him, I think that that's why I would want to kind of have it that way. But I also don't know how much they want to move Titus around to right guard, have him flip again and learn that position. But that they seem to be not that concerned about moving guys around. So that'd probably be my optimal as of what you have right now.
This is going to be a wild training camp and preseason.
It's a lot of competition, man, all over the place, man.
But now you can't also, you can't convince me that in their mind's eye, they don't already see what it should look like or could look like. Like they have a pretty good idea of what they think is going to be the offensive line. Now, there's still going to be competition. It could change. But I see Cam Robinson at left tackle. I see Titus Howard at left guard.
Okay.
I think that's where he's played. That's, they've already made that move a couple of times. Center is interesting. I could see Jarrett Patterson continuing to be the starting center.
Fair enough.
Which would make Drew Scruggs or Tomlinson the right guard. And then in a total departure from what you're thinking, I think they love Trent Brown, man. I think Trent Brown's going to be the right tackle.
Okay.
But that's what's going to make it so wild.
And it is worth noting, Lakin Tomlinson, also a guy who was playing left guard. So he'd be moving. I mean, there's going to be some moving and shaking, but they've kind of admitted that by constantly mm-hmm. using the best five rhetoric,
mm-hmm.
that they're just going to try and get the best five guys and they'll mm-hmm. fit in as best they can. But that's another thing where you're having guys flip here and there on top of the other questions that you have.
Yeah.
Like, what does that take away, whether it's a 1 or 2 or 5% of what their top end performance is,
mm-hmm.
are you getting a little bit less of that by moving guys around? These are all questions that are having to be asked, and that's why I would have been very happy if there was more just kind of raw talent available to this to Kaylee and Popovich when they're making these decisions on the offense.
I do feel like we're a little bit being a little bit unfair to Ursary. I didn't have him on my list. I think he's going to compete, but a year ago when Blake Fisher was drafted in the second round, we kind of thought he had a shot to be a starter.
Yeah.
And we're not giving Ursary the same credit there, and I'm not exactly sure.
What do you mean I put him as a starting guard?
I think it feel like the Houston Texans kind of set things up where
mm-hmm.
it is a high chance that he could be the starter, but if that don't work out right, they got somebody there for the year.
They've got options.
Yeah, it's not somebody that's like a written in pen type mm-hmm. of starter, mm-hmm. but if you can outplay this guy, then the job is yours. But it's also not the end of the world if he's not ready yet.
Yeah.
They got a lot of linemen, man.
They do. They have a lot of linemen. Right now.
I know what we're going to be watching in camp.
It is the thing to watch. It is
100%. They signed a center, undrafted free agent.
Yeah, Eli Cox is the undrafted free agent center that they're throwing into that room
mm-hmm.
as well. So, yeah, man, they have some guys in that room. Eli Cox out of Kentucky, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got some guys in that room. I'm still so very intrigued to see how it comes together. And I don't know. And to be fair to them, I don't know how much confidence I would have had even if they had taken mm-hmm. a couple of offensive linemen in the draft.
Sure.
If that would have immediately put me into that place. but I would have loved even more of those higher level bodies in there to make it better. But there you go. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Figgy, can you help me out here? I did say that I wanted to hear John Harris and his excitement.
Oh, yeah.
When Woody Harris, Woody. Okay.
Well, he's not that.
That's true. I call him Wood Harris, like the man who was in the wire. Woody Marks was selected for your Texans. This is just how excited John Harris is about that selection.
Looks like it's going to be Woody Marks coming out of USC, the running back.
What? Oh, okay.
We just drafted Woody Marks. Oh!
Okay, so that got, for those that aren't watching on YouTube, that got a stand-up and table bump. From John Harris. That
we
is a
just drafted Woody Marks?
That is a stand-up table bump.
Stop.
Joquavius Marks.
Yeah.
Woody Marks.
No, seriously. Oh, my God. Okay. I love this.
All right. Okay. Okay.
He was one of my favorite running backs this entire draft. This is an absolute swarmy. Oh my God!
Yeah, we get our analyst here. We're gonna need you to gather yourself a little bit.
Okay, if somebody was in that other room, I would have hit. Somebody should have hit the wall and said, "Get a room, get a room."
He's got to still have afterglow going. He's still got to have it going.
Oh man, my man's gonna live all week off of that one just alone. That one alone.
Mark Vandermeer just said, "Get a room."
Yes, Brandon, that's another player whose name starts with a J and went to USC, because you have a few of those.
Oh, that's
as well.
Right. That's right.
You have a few of those as well. All right. Mm-hmm. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Excited about what this Texas team has going, even if there's still that one place where I have some questions. But hey, I think that's better than a lot of teams in the NFL where that they have some more questions in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
We'll ultimately see. Like, you're getting to the place where now bring on mini camp, bring on
I can't wait
camp.
For that.
Like, we are on that path, mm-hmm. on the march to the start of the 2025 NFL season. All right, coming up next, let's get into our lunchtime confessions, as we often do, brought to you by the Men's Clinic. We will do that next.
I'm curious what you guys think on this. You obviously are younger than me, but you're not too young to not know who Lawrence Taylor was.
Who?
Did you see this?
I didn't see this.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I do know what you're talking about.
Abdul Carter.
Yes.
Asked Lawrence Taylor if he could wear his number.
I seen that part, yeah.
So?
You got to know better. Like, you, yeah,
you feel like he
what,
don't
you,
know
you think the Lawrence ask was a problem. Making the ask is an issue.
The making the ask was an issue for me because he didn't know just how freaking awesome Lawrence Taylor was.
Right,
he changed
I'm
going to
defend
game.
Him
I think
on
that's
this.
That's why he wants the number.
He changed the game. Certain players, you don't even ask. You don't. If they want to offer, that's another thing. By the way, Lawrence Taylor said, nah, you can't have it.
See, this is where I'm going to defend him on this, mm-hmm. because this is the Giants' fault for doing this, because they gave Malik Nabers number one.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that number was retired.
It wasn't it's, Lawrence you, Taylor, you, man.
I just feel like you opened a can of worms at this point. So it's like, oh, we giving out retired numbers. We giving out legendary numbers. Let me ask.
And to me, it's apples and oranges. That was freaking Lawrence. That's LT, man. First of all, you got to know the history as a player in the NFL.
I think he knows the history. I think that's why.
I don't think he knows it well enough.
I think that's why he makes the ask.
I
want to follow in with the legacy of one of, if not the greatest pass rushers of all time.
I disagree. I think he knows Lawrence Taylor was great. Everybody knows the name. But I don't think he realizes what Lawrence Taylor was. And you got to know that. You got to know that. Ask someone in the organization.
I kind of hate when we do this, when we get mad at young folks for not knowing things the young folks don't know, even though I do think that he understands it to a degree, and now we're starting kind of picking nits here.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, if he does not know exactly how great Lawrence Taylor is,
mm-hmm.
all right, cool. But I can't blame him for the thought process of that guy is great. I believe myself to be great or on the path to being great. I would like to wear the same number. Do you think that'd be cool? No? All right, we keep it pushing. I am 100% good with the ask. 100% good with the ask.
Some things you just don't do.
I think the Giants just opened that can of worms, mm-hmm. man. I think now everybody going to be asking for whatever number,
mm-hmm.
just because now.
I was just kind of sad, to be honest. That's a part of my confession that this kid didn't even, number one, ask. He's in the NFL. This is his business. This is his job. and didn't do any, you know, and good enough. I know he knows he's great.
I was like, are you certain that he, because you're making some assumptions here that he didn't ask nobody and he didn't, he probably did. He probably just said, I would like to ask and see if I
can. Well, you're making an assumption by doing that. You know, what I'm saying is like, that's LT. That's LT. But
how you feel about like the situation with Cam Ward and the number one with Warren Moon and all that stuff?
Yeah, that's fine. Again, it's certain.
Really? Okay. Was, all right.
They both Hall of Famers.
Yes, they are, but they're in a different Hall of Fame. I mean, they're in a different category from each other. Right. Like Warren Moon was one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. LT changed the entire game of football and was the best ever.
So it's cool for Cam Ward to get that number one.
Yes.
If he asked for it.
Yes.
But Carter cannot.
Right. You hit it on the head. 100%. 100%.
I just want to go to this LT Hall of Fame that you're talking about. That's different from the special the one in Canton.
And you guys know what I'm talking about. There are different categories.
What, do
of
they
Hall
do different
Famers.
Activities over there?
Yeah.
So he ain't the one in Canton.
No, he's the one in Canton. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't. Actually, now I don't know. I'm a little concerned.
There's the super elite, and then there's the elite.
But it's the same Hall of Fame.
Well, of course. Of course. No, see, I'm you just, guys are I'm now just, falling I'm, into that category.
Yeah, I'm just messing with you.
So I don't know if I want to or not. My confession is I'm kind of considering doing this just for the comedy of it. Are you familiar with the I guess, app or website or whatever you call it, Nextdoor?
Oh, sure. That's high entertainment.
Yeah, but
you got to join. Is that what you're considering?
Yeah, I got an email.
Oh, you have to.
I got an email last week.
Nextdoor, where all those crazies start posting stuff that's crazy.
Like, okay. Yeah. Very good. That is one way of describing it for sure. I think Nextdoor is technically kind of described as like kind of a neighborhood website where it's like a community can come together and kind of exchange like conversations on this app or website or what have you. And, you know, in theory, it's like an opportunity for your community to be, you know, share information. And oftentimes it just devolves into people being weird or sometimes racist or what have you in this space, in this like kind of, central square of your community. And my natural inclination is to be like, no, I don't need to be in that. Like,
you have to.
I live in an apartment. But there is like a little dark, I don't know if it's a devil on my shoulder that's like, oh, they in there cutting up.
Yes, you have to. And bring some of the comments to us.
I'm still thinking about it. But yeah, it's gnawing at me. And I've been thinking about it for over a week, which means I'm leaning in a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, you should.
So yeah, let me know. I'll make this a vote of the people. Should I join my community's Nextdoor app? And see what the crazies are crazying about, as Lopez said.
Yes.
So we was talking about numbers and all that stuff. And Matthew Golden, who was drafted to the Green Bay Packers, he wore number 2 for the University of Houston. By the way, don't ask Andre Ware about Matthew Golden being a U of H guy. He said, nope. They was talking about that draft night, and John Harris was like, hey, yeah, Matthew Golden, University of Houston, University of Texas. He said, no, he's not Houston anymore. He was totally out on him.
So he don't get to claim the H no
nope,
more?
Yeah. He said, nope. That's a sidebar. But so he wore number 2 in college. I got to confess. So apparently he's going to wear number 22 for the Green Bay Packers. I don't know how that looked, man, on the receiver, man.
22. That's interesting.
22? That's going to look so weird, man.
You're right. I'm with you on
that's
this
border
one.
To me, that's borderline like Cordero was
Patterson.
Patterson wearing number, 85?
Yeah.
And playing running back or something? Like, that looked borderline. That might look a little worse than that to me, man. 22?
Yeah. I'll go a little bit further with you here. I think we should go back to the numbers being confined to the position.
80s.
I'm not going to lie.
I think in the 80s.
I kind of
yeah, but you like some
vibe.
Of the other ones, don't you? Like, that are all kind of off.
I like the
mainstream.
I like the single digits.
I can do without it. Hey, man, you get into them teens, you can get into them 80s as a wide receiver. That's what you got. And I understand that that's tough for guys that are going to play both ways, but figure it out, friend.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Like, I'd much rather just.
I'm with you.
22?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
22 looks weird. It's a good running back number, though.
Yeah.
It's a really good one. It's just a weird
defensive
wide
back.
Number.
I'll go cornerback, defensive back.
Sure.
But 22,
oh, 22 is an elite
a receiver?
Defensive back number.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
not wide receiver.
Yeah, no, I'm not feeling this, man. I
maybe
mean,
you should wear 56. I'm just kidding.
Did you see, I think Travis Hunter, and he might have been joking. He was just like, I'll wear whatever number, because he seems like he don't care. He's just like, I'm out here to play football. He's like, I'll wear 40. And I was like, ew.
Don't wear 40. Don't wear 40.
That's nasty. Please don't do 40. That'd be really very weird. And apparently I'm learning about Nextdoor because people are saying Nextdoor is the best.
It's the best.
Neighborhood drama. Yeah. But people are also saying the Nextdoor is more like Backdoor, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, wow.
And
God.
That's a whole different level.
That's what I thought it was when y'all said Nextdoor. Yeah. And you say all the crazies be on there. I'm like, oh, let me not search this app.
And this is a great point from the 406. Don't do Nextdoor unless you plan on getting every neighbor. And I'm guessing that they mean like alert.
Oh yeah, I get them on. It's because I do it on
and
Ring.
And it's just alerts all the damn time.
But you can just swipe. I mean, it's some of the good ones are awesome.
Yeah, but here's another mini confession. It's just I have too many. I have way too many notifications on my phone. Mm-hmm. Like I can show you right now. I'm swiping notifications away all day.
What's one more?
It's just a whole bunch of push.
Look at all the
just a whole. I'm talking email.
Do you need that notification? Are you a notification guy though?
Kind of, but probably don't need nearly this many.
I hate notifications, man. I hate notifications.
So I don't know if that
especially
might be
the ones that pop up.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Just pop because I screen record a lot of stuff and post it. And
in the middle of it? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. That would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
And yes, 469, have heard of Bullet Bob Hayes, number 22. Yes. It was a different era, friend.
Can't really wear that number then.
Yeah. Mel Kiper, I didn't really even know this. I mean, I knew he was a different kind of guy, but he might be the strangest person on earth. And I'm not even talking about his Shador stuff.
Talking about the hair?
Talking about this.
You don't eat the crust, right? Now, is that because you don't like the crust or just...
Well, what's in the crust? Reese, you would know.
Carbohydrates.
Right? Yeah. I was told hydrogenated oil.
Oh, well, that could be true. What? How do you eat pizza?
I take the cheese off.
He takes the cheese.
I'm out.
What do you do with it?
I didn't realize.
You just don't eat it? Right away.
I didn't realize you didn't eat in front of people. That's why.
Kim loves cheese. My wife loves cheese.
So here's what it went.
I'm so upset right now.
So it started with the pie.
He went on to say, they gave him a piece of pie, which apparently he loves pumpkin pie. But
he eats it like every day.
Every day. But he set it in front of him after putting whipped cream on it. Then he set it in front of him. Then they went into... He literally never, as in never ever, eats in front of anyone. He always eats by himself in his room.
If you're a weirdo, keep that to yourself.
That's weird. Because keep in mind, like job interviews in general with general managers and stuff. Hey, let's go have lunch. We'll go to lunch, but I'm not eating.
They said he eats before he goes to an event.
Yes.
So you don't have to eat.
He goes to parties and doesn't eat at parties. He goes to all these events, does not eat in front of other people.
I think that's kind. I think that's being considered. No. If you know that you're going to do weird stuff, like take the pizza off or the cheese off of the pizza.
And that's the other thing. He eats pizza. But he takes the cheese off.
No, he doesn't.
He takes the cheese off and then doesn't eat the pie crust either. Just a pumpkin off the pumpkin.
To me, all of that explains why he don't eat in front of people.
He is a nut.
I can't look at him the same, man.
I mean, neither.
He probably look weird when he eating a pizza or weird eating anything.
And he's taking all this stuff off and everything.
I will say I
probably eat like a child.
Yeah.
Oh, he does, clearly.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate him. Yes, if you are a weirdo, keep that to yourself. But I do appreciate that at least he does not have the very common double standard of I will eat pizza, but I don't eat the crust. Because I'm like, what's it's literally made of the same stuff as the bottom of the pizza. He's like, no, I'm not eating any of that. It's weird, but at least it's consistent, and I appreciate him for that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going there?
I'm not, man. He is literally eating like a child.
It's unbelievable.
As a grown man, I don't know how old he is, but.
I just tried to put myself in that position. Like, think about all the things that we go to where it's just common courtesy. He has no courtesy for anyone. Or
sometimes I snack on a little something so I don't look weird.
Yes. Or drink, you don't stand out.
Me, like whenever we go out and about and the only thing out there is beer, like I don't even like beer, but I will drink some of the beer just because so I don't stand out and look like a fool.
Yeah.
Someone said, just order the pizza with the cheese. Oh, no, I think you've misunderstood. He takes the cheese off and he eats that portion and none of the rest. the slice of pizza is just a delivery method for him to slide that melted cheese and then eat that. Like that is basically a plate, dear friend. That is the type of weirdo that we're talking about with Mel Kiper Jr. Mm-hmm. apparently. And honestly, I think ESPN should fire him for it. I think that's how that should go. I'm gonna take a stand. And from the 832, they said their sister orders pizza without cheese. She's lactose intolerant. Okay. Well, then I feel like she's not a weirdo. So, she's just
I don't think that's – I don't think he's – well, I don't know his business or nothing, but I just feel like he's a picky eater, man. Just a weird type of eater.
Clearly. Yes. Very clearly.
Yes.
And more power to him. Do what you got to
really?
Do. Really? Yeah, because he's not putting it in front of us. He's like, I know y'all not going to like this, so I'm going to keep it to myself. And I appreciate
just
it.
Just imagine being his friend. Like, I've never seen him eat anything.
They said he leaves events and goes up to his room and
eats. Have you ever seen Mel eat anything?
Never.
But that's not really a problem, is it? That's a him problem. It's not a us problem.
Hey, if I was friends with somebody, I'd never seen them eat anything, take a bite of anything.
You'd just be creating a problem.
I'd be like, wait a minute. Like, do this guy eat?
Oh, and you're worried about aliens? Disorder or
cyborg.
You're like, am I in Men in Black?
Yeah.
All right, very good. Those are your lunchtime confessions. Complete with food, also. Thank you for adding some food to this Lunchtime Confessions, Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by the Men's Clinic. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's do what we do on a Monday. Who are some winners and losers of the weekend? Text men 713-572-4610. Who won, who lost on the weekend? We'll discuss it next. Yep, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a Monday. Happy Monday to you all. Winners and losers of the weekend. We do it every Monday. We're looking back on the weekend, and I mean this week in particular, you had the National Football League draft. So I'm sure there's some of that will filter in. But yeah, who were the winners? Who were losers on the weekend? 713-572-4610. We're Ocho texting. I know someone else on the YouTube was mentioning this earlier. I think it was Kicks Rocks. If Shiloh had somehow been drafted before Shador, that would have been the biggest middle finger in history. That's funny. But yeah, Shiloh, undrafted free agent going to Tampa.
He's a winner. He got a chance.
Yeah,
I kind of enjoyed his content over the.
Did you see what he
weekend.
Said? Hey, man, if they're doing this to you, yeah. Where am I going to go?
That was night one.
He was very entertaining, man. To the point, I was looking for a stream, man. I'm like, where can I find this stream? Man, he was very entertaining.
I'm screwed.
So it was a very weird weekend for the Sanders family in that they were dealing with all of that. However, I think that they kind of won for their continual content strategy. Because they were like basically streaming live damn near all weekend, doing all the various things that they were doing, enjoying themselves. And it did feel like they continued to have a level of intrigue and interest, obviously in large part because of the, I guess, so-called slide.
Yeah.
But it did feel like they were really enjoying themselves and still personable and affable in a way that was kind of interesting, at least through the clips that I saw all over my social media. But anyways, so I guess you're counting Shiloh as a winner here, huh?
I am, all in all, absolutely.
Yeah, fair enough, 832. ESPN was the biggest winner. We mentioned earlier that day two coverage alone was up 40% year over year compared to last year, and obviously a large part of that had to be all the conversation about Shador Sanders.
I'm not sure if this is true or not, or if it was day two or day three where I guess they did bigger numbers than the actual NBA finals.
I'm sure that's probably true.
Day two in some ways.
That says a lot, doesn't it?
Well, the NFL is still just a different level. And speaking of the NFL, this was a loser last millennium. With his selection, Tyler Shuck will be the final player born in the 1900s to be drafted into the NFL.
Oh, my goodness.
Tyler Shuck will be 26 at least early on in this season. And so, how did that make you feel?
I was shocked when they picked him, man.
I saw some guys drafted in 2005.
That's right.
2005?
Which makes sense, because those are 20-year-olds, right? Like, that's where we are.
You kidding? I was like, holy smokes.
Yeah, man. That is where we are. So, I guess the loser in that instance is us. Yeah. Us feeling young is losers. We are in that place where you're not going to see a 19 ever again. It's just all going to be 2000 for the foreseeable future here. So, yeah, that's really tough to see. How about this? A loser being the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, man.
The Milwaukee Bucks playing the Indiana Pacers in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And Damian Lillard, who, remember, he missed a good chunk of the last 15 games, end of the season, something like that.
Yeah.
Dealing with a blood clot, which is something that, you know, typically doesn't resolve very quickly, especially because what they need to do is have you on blood thinners in order to kind of manage the situation. I guess it's technically called a deep vein thrombosis. I think that's ultimately the technical term for it. Well, he got through that, and he got through the blood clot to the point where they, you know, at the end in the playoffs, he missed only, I think, two games. He was back for game three, if memory serves. Or was it game two even? He made it back pretty quickly. Only four. In the midst of game four, they lose the against the Pacers, which, you know, that's disconcerting for them. But also, more importantly, it seems as though Damian Lillard is thought to have torn his Achilles in that game, according to Chris Haynes. And so Damian Lillard, who is no spring chicken, I mean, he now is obviously gone for the rest of the season if that proves to be correct. And then on top of that, that puts into pretty much danger the entirety of the next season.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. It's generally a year. Some people have, shout out to Aaron Rodgers, have kind of beaten that, by at least in their own mind, by a little bit. But, I mean, he's 34. You know, I think he's 34. And is he going to be back? You know, is he going
to
be back?
Right. 34 years of age. You are correct. 1990 for you, just to make sure that that one's out there. But with that being the case, that does make you then look at the Milwaukee Bucks and go, what do you do? Because they don't have control of a lot of their own assets. And you talk about Damian Lillard being 34. Giannis Antetokounmpo is also like starting to get to a place where he has to be very careful about maximizing his years. Mm-hmm. And if the running mate that you have traded for to get with him is there, and Giannis is 30, right? Can you afford to just let a year go where you go, hey, we're probably not going to be able to compete at the level of championships?
Yeah.
You think he's going to ask out?
I don't know that he asks out, but maybe. Because
they're trying to keep him happy, man.
They brought in
Dame for that reason.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he's going to get to a point like, man, let's mutually part ways.
I think there you go. I think Reggie hit it.
I like what you did there.
You know, this comes down to Giannis at some point. He's like, nothing's going to happen next year. Like that, they're not going to get there anywhere next year. So at some point,
it's not going to be Kyle Kuzma out here doing it.
That's right.
Mr. Thousand himself. Like, I don't know that you're actually, or Trillion. Is it Trillion?
The Trillion.
Yeah. I don't know that you're definitely in a place where you're going to be able to traverse that.
Yeah.
And it's not like it feels like the Bucks are particularly, you're well situated to compete anyways.
Right.
And then how does Damian Lillard come back off of an Achilles is another question. So I think that the Bucks might be in this place where you start looking and you go,
I think they will.
I think someone on the text line got there. 832, F it. Let's go get Giannis this season. Like, I think you're not going to be the only team thinking about that. And I do wonder if teams are going to go get that. And that means I have to throw up the question to you. Here comes the underhanded softball. Giannis, Houston Rocket,
yes.
Lopez?
Yes. Yes.
It should be a discussion for sure.
Yeah, absolutely it should be. Don't you agree?
I mean, just off of talent, pure talent alone, yes, but I do wonder, how do you make that fit with what you already have? Obviously, Alpen Şengün there centrally, and then also one of the things we've talked about is getting a star player who you go to for a bucket, and he definitely has some of that, but if you're going to a star player and trying to help engineer an offense, I don't know if Giannis is the one that I'm going for.
I would be willing to try. I would definitely be willing to try.
I would talk about it.
They're a transition team, too, and obviously we know Giannis in transition is off the charts.
Yeah. So that was like that immediately opened up some of those questions. And I imagine those are going to be things that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to have to contend with as they continue. Some other winners and losers of the weekend. How about celebrity ownership being a winner? Wrexham AFC. Obviously, a lot of people have heard about this story because they had the documentary. Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds, they bought Wrexham AFC back when it was in the fifth league of the English soccer tiers. And just this weekend, they were promoted for the third straight season, which is the first time that's ever been done in English soccer, to the second tier of the English football league. That's technically called the EFL Championship. So they're just one tier away from the top. One more promotion away, and so it's just been a miracle. Like this is damn near impossible for this to happen, and the next step is even more difficult.
Yeah, that would be a story. Who won the Premier League anyway? Wasn't that yesterday?
All right, we get it. Liverpool won the damn Premier League. Okay,
you're damn right they did. 5-1, baby.
That's not what won. I mean, they
clinched it with a 5-1 win.
There you go. Yeah. All right, you happy? I'm feel good?
Very happy.
You jerk. 281 said no on the Giannis, doesn't solve the shooting problems. And I think that that's going to be something that you need to have some level of kind of resolution towards even outside of that. But, you know, that is 100% fair. Like you bring in another non-shooter, but he can get his buckets. But the problem is, I think your offense I don't know that you find answers with that offensively in as big of a way, but he is a star player. Mm-hmm. I think that you might have to change the way that you kind of situated your
I think they're going to have to consider that no matter what at this point, right?
He's so good that you would have to consider it, but I think if the, if you can find an, another option that is probably more guard or wing oriented that maybe has more of shooting, as that said, 100%, I would do that. 619 points to Jax Ulbrich for being caught.
That's a loser.
Doing the prank calling of Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. At least that's the one that the Falcons have agreed to. There were some other prank calls that happened with draft picks during this draft. I know Tyler Warren of the now of the Colts. He was drafted at 14 when the Jets were up at 7. Mm-hmm. He got a prank call. Some other folks got prank calls this year. So yeah, there's some folks that are that are having to be answered for and
not to be
NFL's
fair
looking for it.
The Falcons have said they had nothing to do with those other ones.
Sure.
That they, they conducted their own investigation or whatever, and it was just the one.
713 said, give me Giannis over KD, but I'd be good to pass on either unless you bring me both. Okay. I don't want either of them unless I give both of them is an interesting situation. All right. Very good. And how about this? I will situate this as losers, but there's a way that you can get to winner. Mm-hmm. Non-Olympic high schoolers. Because Quincy Wilson, who was an Olympian this last go around, he, along with his high school, were at the Penn Relays. Mm-hmm. So it's Bullis High School there, I believe, in Maryland. They were running at Penn, and they ran a 3 minute and 6 second 4x4. And Quincy Wilson split 43.99 for them to set a U.S. high school national record.
I would hope so. You're running that split and you're an Olympian, but either way. And by the way, Penn Relay is a very underrated event if you're ever up in the area at the time.
Is it really?
Oh, hugely popular.
How's it compared to Texas Relays?
Very similar. Yeah, very similar.
With all the extracurriculars, too?
Well, I don't know about the extracurriculars.
Yeah, the extracurriculars of Texas Relay is different, brother. It is different. But no, imagine being the high schooler that I got to run against Quincy Wilson.
You're lining up next to him. Like, oh, great.
Like, that is one of my favorite things to think about sports, especially like amateur sports at that level, is just the kids that had to play against the eventual pros. Mm-hmm. Like, I love those stories of I had to guard so-and-so.
Yep.
Or, I had to go and try and tackle this. The kids who had to try and tackle Derrick Henry when he was in high school.
Yeah.
Like, how is that fair? How do we allow that?
Who'd you play against? Who comes
to
mind?
Yeah. I didn't really have a lot. I mean, I played against Blake Gideon.
Okay.
Right. And the thing that I always think about Blake Gideon is that time that he dropped that pass, the interception against Texas Tech that allowed Crabtree to get out here and embarrass UT. But yeah, I don't have as many of those good stories, but I know some people have great ones.
I had to play for 3 years against Gabe Rivera, first round draft pick of the Steelers, defensive rookie of the year.
Really?
Oh, he's a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd that go for you?
He stepped on me all over the place. Yeah.
Right. Very good. Excellent. If you have I had to play against him story, please send it. I would love to hear it. All right. But yes, those are the winners and losers of the weekend. In the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's circle back around to the draft one more time. Now that we have a full look at the draft, I think that by and large people were pretty happy about it, but was there anything that you were not happy about with the Texans draft or with the draft at large? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.